Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, we are going to mess with the Zohan.
We are
going
to so mess with the Zohan.
We're going to mess all up over the Zohan.
And we will mess with Kung Fu Panda, too.
Yes, and we're going to get karate chopped by a giant animated panda that sounds like Jack Black. So that should be fun.
Skadoosh.
Skadoosh. Anyways, but before we get to all of that, here is how you can get a hold of us.
Yes.
You can go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go over to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We actually got an email this week. And if you'd like to call us, which we got one of those this week too, it is area code 614-388-8735. I feel like we have... Our fan base has grown by at least two people this
week.
Well,
yeah, and it helps to actually have a working phone number.
I've noticed.
We can receive calls there.
Right.
We did get a call. Let's talk about the phone call first. Are we going to play any part of that?
No.
No, we'll just mention it, you know, for good.
For sake of mentioning yes, it, but I suppose.
It was Macau was his name.
From Austin,
from
Texas.
From Austin, yes. First of all, when South by Southwest comes down, you'll have to find us at the Alamo Draft House and buy us beer.
Right, because we do like to drink beer.
We will take free beer from anybody.
Right, as long as they're not putting roofies in them.
Well, if they're
although,
cute.
I doubt anyone would want to date rape us. I don't see that happening.
Okay.
Someone may like corner us and be like, so what'd you think about that movie? But no one's gonna be like, yeah, I slipped something into your drink, we're gonna have fun. No, just not happening.
And usually if it were to happen, it's not like gonna be Jessica Alba coming up going, I want to take advantage of you so you rate my next movie very good.
Very, yes. Well, I mean, but Jessica, if you're listening, and I know you're not, and you would like us to give...
Jessica has not called our phone.
Yes.
Just Macau.
If you would like us to give your movie a good rating, we can be bought.
Yes.
But not with money.
No. No, I don't want your money.
No, we don't want your money.
You keep your money in the pants. Anyways, let's...
Before we go off the radio completely.
Before we're completely banned from the air. One of the things Macau did bring up in his call to us... He has an advance ticket to an advance screening that's sponsored by an unnamed other website. This is why I didn't want to put it on there. I don't want to give any publicity to this. They get enough publicity on that.
Yeah.
Austin-based website.
Right.
So, but anyone who wants to just chime in on movies, especially if you see the movie early.
Yeah,
like you're
going to
go.
Us.
Yeah, give us a call. Give your review online. We'll play part of it. So
right, as long as we can hear you and understand what you're saying, we will play it.
Yeah, yeah, and if you like, if you listen to us and you'd be like, oh, you guys were too hard on the Zohan.
Right.
You can call us and complain about
that
too.
We will. If people start calling and giving their review even afterwards, we'll carve out a piece of the internet only segment.
Absolutely.
And we'll play the calls, the user calls or the reader calls.
Yeah, but we're a radio show. Nobody reads.
Or listeners.
And they watch movies. Nobody reads unless it's like a foreign movie.
Or listeners.
All right. What was the email we got this week?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up later in the show.
Great. It's a good thing you were prepared.
I was prepared, except not for this.
Skadoosh.
Anyways.
let's start by talking about our first film.
You don't
mess with the Zohan. Adam Sandler stars as a Mossad agent who fakes his own death to become a fabulous hairdresser in New York.
I come here to start new life, get new woman to love and make the bang boom.
We will capture. We will be heroes.
Welcome to Hezbollah phone line. For terrorist supplies, press 1.
The Zohan! Stay out of my business, Mustafa.
This is not my name.
Go back to your pretzel stand. We got it.
You like to insult people?
Was that your feet?
Yes, it's the feet uppercut. Smell it, smell it, smell it. Now take it. That's for you.
Now, I will say right off the bat that I would like to point out one thing about the Zohan before we start talking about how dumb it was.
When you're pointing out about the Zohan, you mean the movie
Zohan? The movie The Zohan.
Or The Zohan.
No, I'm not going to mess with the Zohan because it doesn't really work out for anybody in the film to mess with the Zohan, so I doubt that it would work for me. But Emmanuel Shrieky, who plays the girl who is his love interest in the film, or she owns the hair salon, or runs the hair salon.
The young, not fat.
The young, not fat, and old one. is smoking hot. That's really all I have to say about that. She is the highlight of the film.
Yes.
Not disagreeing. But here's the problem with the Zohan. And I think the best way to describe it is one word. Dumb.
Yeah.
It is a dumb movie. But then again, you look back at Adam Sandler's career, and I'm pretty sure you could describe 90% of his career as dumb. It is no more dumb than most of, you know, Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore. They're just silly, stupid films. But I will admit that I laughed. It was funny at times, except when there were fish in people's
rears. There's a lot of Adam Sandler's caboose, shall we say, both covered and uncovered.
Right.
And a lot of things are clenched.
Yeah.
Which is disturbing.
Yeah, just doesn't.
He's freakishly proud of his body in this movie.
Right. There's a lot of. It's very lewd. I think I was just talking to Brian off the air. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me about how he...
Brian Gibson
from Film School Rejects. How he thought that for the audience that might go see this movie, if it's a younger audience, which Adam Sandler tends to draw a fairly young audience, there's a lot of inappropriate stuff in it.
Well, at the screening we saw, these people walked in with like a 9-year-old girl, 8 or 9-year-old girl. And I mean, I got kids. I show my kids stuff that people would argue is inappropriate now and then because, you know, I'm in the movie business kind of thing. I see movies all the time and I'm like, okay, cover your eyes during this. Because they like monster movies and stuff like that. But yeah,
there's a lot of sexuality to it. I mean, he spends the first 5 minutes of the film naked, but it's not like...
Not a good naked.
It's not a good naked, nor is it like a really obscene naked. I mean, there's no graphic nudity. It's a PG-13.
Yeah.
Or PG.
It's PG-13. No. It's definitely
PG-13. It's PG-13. But, you know, there's a lot of sexuality to it. It's kind of inappropriate. The other thing that I found that I really still have not been able to figure it out is the whole... I mean, obviously, he's an Israeli counter-terrorist, and... He fights against Palestine, and then he wants to break away from the war. But so there's that whole there's that whole cultural thing that that they have in the movie, and there's a lot of inside jokes. You know, as an Israeli person, he dips everything in hummus and things like this. And there's a lot of like inside jokes, and I can't tell. I mean, I'm obviously not Palestinian or Israeli.
Although
I have a thick beard.
You do look like a terrorist.
I cannot tell whether these are all inside jokes that I would get if I were from one of those cultures, or if I should be offended for them.
Well, it's kind of like...
I just don't understand which way I should go.
Well, the thing is, I don't know much about Adam Sandler's history, but he is Jewish.
He's Jewish, yeah.
But I don't know if he's Israeli. There's a difference. Right. There's a difference between being Jewish and being...
Right, because Jewish is a religion.
Well, yeah, and there's also...
Israeli is a region.
Well, yeah, there's also a difference between being... Israeli from Israel and having your like maybe your first generation or whatever,
right.
Or being, you know, you've been in this country, you know, since the 1800s.
Yeah, being born in,
but
like,
ultimately
Chicago.
You're Israeli, you know. So it's kind of like, is this actually made for Israelis or Israeli immigrants? Because yeah, you're right. The hummus jokes
are
all over the place.
Yeah,
there is more hummus in this movie than Kung Fu and Kung Fu Panda. I think
it's actually amazing. So I just didn't know whether I don't know whether it's an inappropriate film or not. Ultimately, though, it was dumb. It made me laugh to a certain extent. So if you're already planning on going to see it, I guess it's worth it. But otherwise, it's not that good of a movie. I'm giving it a kind of sucks.
I'm going to give my review on the next break.
Okay, that's fine. Right now, Kevin, I kind of went off in that last segment. So
I was chewing ice.
You were in the middle of eating. So
he was eating ice. It's zero calories. It's ice.
Anyways, what did you think of the Zohan?
Let me say this about the Zohan. It was on my list of the top 8 movies that are sure to just completely suck this summer.
Right.
And
which you really set yourself up to like it by saying that it was going to suck so bad.
But what's funny is. For me, it's like it's not that bad. It's still ultimately I'm going to preempt it and say I'm already giving it a kind of sucks.
Right.
But it's not a total sucks, and it's not as bad as I thought it would be. But then again, I thought it was just going to be the worst movie of the summer. I mean, you look at like Dennis Dugan. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Finish chewing your ice and answer me.
Dennis Dugan directed it. He's the one who did...
he did Happy Gilmore, but he also did National Security. I mean, he's done... He's had just right, hits and misses.
He did I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Yeah, I mean, he's done good movies, but he's also done bad movies.
And the Benchwarmers.
Yeah, I mean, so... It's not like you're taking, you know, Adam McKay, who did Anchorman and who generally has a good pedigree and put him
right.
In. This guy's, you know, he could be good, he could be bad.
Well, and you know what I think it is? I think it's whoever is really in the lead. Because if you look at, like, the difference between, like, the Benchwarmers, which was... John Heder and David Spade. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, like, Chuck and Larry, which wasn't as bad because it had Adam Sandler and Kevin James. You know, really the talent. I think Adam Sandler, a lot of people, pulls it together.
But in the beginning, ultimately, you have to say, if a movie has Adam Sandler in an act using an accent, it's usually not a good movie. I didn't like The Waterboy, and I thought Little Nicky was awful. So this one, of all the Adam Sandler accent movies, this one's probably the best. But you're right, it does have these, it has these moments where I don't really know what they're trying to do. Like you said, I don't know whether they're... If it's supposed to be funny, because I'm not steeped enough in Israeli culture to get all the jokes, so am I going to find them funny? Or is it for an American audience? Is it for the very small Israeli immigrant audience?
Right.
And then it does get this point near the end where they actually seriously try to do a message, and I don't know if they're trying to do a message or whether they're making a joke that they're trying to do a message.
Right.
It's just, there's a lot of humor that's unclear, and yes, I did laugh at parts, but sometimes I did sort of laugh at the movie, not with the movie.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's pretty much, that's how I felt. I was laughing at the movie's expense for the most part.
I way too much of Adam Sandler's body in the movie.
Yes. So, you know, if you're set on going to see Zohan, you might like it, but beware, you may walk out very confused and feeling violated.
They wasted nice. They did waste some people, like Nick Swartzen's in the movie. And
yeah, he was
He's good. Usually hilarious, but he just was underused. Right. As opposed to, like, Grandma's Boy, where he was hilarious in.
Right. Sure. Anyways. Cool. So, moving on. So...
I'm going to chew some ice.
We go from... Adam Sandler with an accent to Jack Black. Animated.
That's me chewing and getting ice.
Starring as a chubby panda who discovers his destiny as a kung fu warrior to defend the land from the evil... Tai Lung.
When you focus on kung fu, you suck. The way to get through to you is with this. Have a dumpling. You have done well, Panda.
Done well? I've done awesome. Oof.
Yes, you have done awesome.
Mm. You're still chewing ice.
I'm sorry.
You listen to the whole clip and you're just...
Give me your review.
I loved Kung Fu Panda. Stop it. Well, here's what I will say. First of all, there's a lot of people out there that don't like Jack Black. I know some of these people that will not go see movies that like have anything to do with Jack Black. I'm a fan of Jack Black, full disclosure.
If Jack Black walks near a movie set and breaks wind, you don't want to see them.
Right. I mean, I have a friend who literally... is so anti-Jack Black that he would disregard this movie's existence really? Based on the involvement of Jack Black.
Do I know this person?
No, it's just a friend of mine from high school. And I don't get that. Personally, I'm a fan of Jack Black. I liked him in High Fidelity. I like School of Rock. I think his comedy is very funny when he doesn't overdo it. And in Kung Fu Panda, he perfectly does not overdo it. And I think the one thing that really stands out about this movie is, sure, it's got a great cast. Jack Black, Dustin Hoffman, Ian McShane plays the bad guy. And I don't know if you know who Ian McShane is.
We'll talk about
but
him.
But he is, like, the ultimate badass.
Deadwood.
Yes. He's awesome. And, you know, you got Seth Rogen, who is a good voice actor.
Overused right
very
now.
Overused, but, you know, but David Cross. And there's all these great voice talents. But the real star of the movie is, I think, DreamWorks Animation. Because... this is the closest they've ever been to being Pixar good with the visual presentation of the film. Mm. And I think that there's something to be said about that. Plus, the movie, really, if you just look at it, it's a kid's movie. It's a lot of fun. It's got a good, you know, solid story. Nothing new. But it's a panda doing kung fu. Like, I love kung fu. Who doesn't love kung fu?
Wow.
The only thing that could be better, you made such a great argument,
and you come to the end with you're like somebody like Einstein making his theory of relativity and being like, E equals MC Panda doing kung fu. Don't you get it?
So I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It's probably one of the more, it's probably the most fun I've had in a movie theater so far this year. If I can use some kind of cliched Peter Hammond line
to describe it. Yeah, depends.
Go ahead.
Depends on what you do in movie theaters. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't made out with any dudes.
I hope not.
Anything.
You were like sitting next to my kid in this movie.
Anyways, what did you think of Kung Fu Panda?
You know, I think you're absolutely right, and I'm going to agree with you, which is terrifying that we're kind of agreeing on both films.
This sucks.
But I will agree with you that he didn't overdo it, and it reminds me a lot of Horton Hears a Who, which came out a couple months ago, which was I thought equally as good, just equally as charming and lovable of a movie. Yeah. And it had Jim Carrey, who always overdoes it in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't overdo it in that because they direct him into the lines and they use only what they want and it's all voice acting and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And, you know, with the exception of like when Robin Williams played the genie, and will you quit reading your email?
I'm not. I'm pulling up for the next segment. Oh, okay.
Just keep going.
I'm paying attention.
I can't see the monitor in the magical studio.
This is why we turn the monitors away from you.
See, I'm cranky right now because you turn off the air conditioning in the magical studio in the sky, too.
This is true. Well, the magical studio in the sky doesn't have magic money to pay magic bills.
Thank you. Send in your money now. PayPal. Fat guys at the filmschoolrejects.com. Anyways, but with the exception of like Robin Williams doing the genie in Aladdin,
mm-hmm.
usually voice acting into animated films isn't a platform for them to just go crazy.
Right.
And I think Jack Black works. He doesn't scat in the movie. He has one little skadoosh line.
Right.
And that's
it. And it fits.
It totally fits. What I hate is when he's in a movie, he could be like, they could remake Schindler's List and he would be like, they're, you know, leading the refugee Jews into his camp and then be like going, you know what those Nazis? Skidibilidididushi. And he just start doing our
right
in Schindler's List. That would be Jack Black.
And I think it's funny because we were going over it after the Kung Fu Panda or before Kung Fu Panda, where we were trying to figure out whether he scatted in King Kong.
Yeah, he did not. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we're pretty sure that that's his only movie thus far that did not include any scatting.
Which is why he didn't annoy me in King Kong. But like Nacho Libre is the perfect example of a movie that should have had no scatting in it whatsoever. And they have this like 5 minute scene where he sings and you're like, what the?
Right.
So.
Right. And I think.
They did pull him back. Now, I will say, I'll agree with you also that it's as close as they've ever come to DreamWorks. I mean, to Pixar. It
visually
looks brilliant. It really, really looks good. And if you look historically, you know, they did Ants like way back in 10 years ago. And then The Bug's Life came out and you're just like, Ants? What a piece of garbage. And they've never lived up to DreamWorks. And every time they do something, and then they did like Shrek and Pixar did Monsters, Inc. And you're just like, that looks so much better than Shrek.
Right. And even last year was DreamWorks did B-Movie. And that looked pretty good. And then, then Pixar came out with Ratatouille and you're just like, oh my God. That's like really Paris.
And at times, and DreamWorks has never, DreamWorks has stumbled several times. Like Shark Tale was overly done and it was just crap. And that had Jack Black. That's the other reason it kind of scared me.
Finding Nemo like blew it out of the water.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just, no pun intended. But but I thought it looked brilliant. The animation was great. The kung fu was the best part. I mean, really, that was the fun part.
A lot of fun.
And I'll say it from a parent's point of view. I brought both my young kids. They're almost 5 and almost 7.
I think people know how old your kids are at this
point. Just in case, so they know. Well,
first-time listeners.
No, first-time listeners, because it is not the place to take an infant. There's somebody who had an infant in there. They had a snuggly. They were strapped in there. And then the baby starts crying, like for 10 minutes, and they're muffling in their face.
Yeah.
This person was ready to smother their own child, so they didn't miss the 5 minutes of Kung Fu Panda for free.
And this always happens with the best animated movies. Like last year it happened during Ratatouille and I didn't even notice. This time I noticed it.
Didn't happen during Happily Never After.
Right.
But
it doesn't happen during the crap
movie. And this person smothering them finally gets up and leaves and it was so disruptive and the theater was hot. But my kids sat still through the whole movie. Both of them, and they didn't even budge.
Right. And they loved it.
And the only movie they've done that since was they did that with Indiana Jones and Spiderwick. They both liked those.
Nice. So your final grade?
I say it rocks.
I say totally rocks. Let's go to a break and we'll be right back. Kevin, every week we do something during this segment.
You're like, I'll come back from this. You're like, bleh, one day we're going to do this.
Well, you know.
And then, you know what happened to the news? Things happened in the news.
Really, the issue is I have a very...
small brain. You have this tiny piece of brain sure. lodged in your skull.
We will go with a very small brain. But anyways, this is the segment.
You're like
where
Winnie the Pooh. You're a bear of little brain.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
I will liquefy your internal organs and drink them in a milkshake.
Anyways, we're going to talk about box office.
Okay.
Now, I think the big theme here is that not only were we wrong.
Everyone was wrong.
Everyone was wrong last week.
And no, you know what? Everyone was wrong and everyone was right. Because when we started, and I even said this last week, I'm like, I'm seeing stuff as low as 30 and as high as 50. And then I saw stuff as high as 70.
Right.
You didn't get a real number. This is the first time you didn't get a real solid number of where it was going to be until Sunday.
Until Sunday. Which, and I almost want to say that...
We're talking about Sex and the City.
We're talking about Sex and the City. It made $57 million last weekend, which, you know, was a lot higher than what the experts were predicting. But I almost want to go back to when I was at Sundance and we were sitting there. We're at the premiere of Smart People and Sarah Jessica Parker walked in and, like, this flood of crowd just, like, hovered around her. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and I looked at...
Oh, that wasn't the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
No, not exactly.
There was this, I even you've saw
done,
you.
You've done more ridiculous
and
things.
And let's just say it involved a quart of mayo and a ballerina tutu.
But I made the point to the people I was sitting with, I was like, if you don't think Sex and the City is going to make a lot of money, there's your sign that it will. It's almost as if last week this memo went out to all the experts that said, you know... Maybe we're going to track this movie a little lower. So then when it, you know, when it does come out, we're all just going to be in denial. And then when it does come out, we're going to be like, oh my God, look, it made a lot of money. That movie was going to make a lot of money either way.
Well, yeah. But see, this is the thing. It was an and this is where the experts were right. And this is what threw everybody off. Because usually what they can do is they can see what the numbers were and they know what it's tracking. And they mm-hmm. say, well, it did this much on Friday. So then Saturday it'll do this much and Sunday it'll do this. And they're actually amazingly accurate with,
right.
With very typical movies. This was so front-loaded, it made almost half of its money its first day.
Right.
For that weekend. Mm-hmm. Friday, it dipped down from Friday to Saturday, it dipped down like 34%, which is
right.
a huge... That's
huge
you
drop
usually
from day to day.
Jump up on Saturday. Even if you throw on your midnight shows, you usually jump up on Saturday. It dropped mm-hmm. another 27% on Sunday.
Yep.
And... I honestly think it's runs over. I mean it's gonna make its money back.
Yeah,
and
I mean
it's gonna
be a success. It already has it. It's
well,
listed
it's
budget
reached
is,
its budget.
Its listed budget is 65. It's already at 68.
Yeah.
So I mean, congratulations.
But it's not gonna do super. It may not do super well overseas. It's not gonna be the Devil Wears Prada in the sense that it'd be like, oh, maybe this movie will make
right.
50 or 60 million and it makes 180,
right.
130 or whatever. It came
well, it's
out
already
of.
Made 100. Worldwide.
Worldwide. No,
yeah,
no, but Devil
good.
Wears Prada made 130
yeah, yeah.
domestically.
Right.
But the thing is, I think it's front load because everybody who wanted to see this were all the women who wanted to go out with their friends and they got their Cosmos and drank their Cosmos and wore their little black dresses, even if they shouldn't have been. And you know who you are.
You were at our screening.
Yes. You just, it had this front loaded success and it reminds me of Cloverfield. Cloverfield, they were like, oh, this might make this much order. And it like made like twice what they were expecting.
On opening weekend.
On
and
opening
then
weekend.
Just went flat.
And like just tanked out because everyone who saw it. I don't know if this is going to have much repeat because it's already starting to just level off right now.
Yeah. So, and I think, but then again, it has a very specific fan base. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably even knew that going in that it's not going to be a movie that lasts all summer. Like Indiana Jones.
It's not going to last all month.
Like Indiana Jones could stay fairly strong. Speaking of Indiana Jones, it made $44 million last weekend, which is still very good. It's still
rolling. Which is about what we were
rolling.
Suggesting it would make.
Yeah, I mean, it had a drop similar to Iron Man, where it dropped about 50%. You know, and going into a week where it had another big release behind it, you know, because
yeah.
Iron Man had Speed Racer, and even though that tanked, it still was a major release.
Yeah.
So I think... You know, a movie like Indiana Jones is still going to be doing fairly well in theaters all the way to the end of June, whereas Sex and the City is just going to kind of pitter away But it'll have life on DVD still. I mean, there's that audience has shown its power. And I think the other thing was that a lot of the male critics who you would expect to come out and say, oh, this is not for guys, no good. Everybody was at least kind of like, well, it was okay. And then there was people like us who were like, yeah, it was pretty good.
I think that it did get generally, it did get more negative reviews than they... Well, let's put it this way. They hedged the negative reviews because of most critics happen to be male. But I think a lot of critics approached it, and when I wrote my review, I'm kind of like, I'm not the guy to listen to for this movie.
I think Roger Ebert said, not the person who should be reviewing this film.
Yeah, and then I think so many guys went in that they're like, they forgave any problems with it because they're just like, because there's a whole sequence in the middle. Okay, if you haven't seen the movie, you know, mm-hmm. You had your chance. Right. She's gonna marry Big, and then there's a big mix up, and they don't get married, and she's all depressed, and she goes on the honeymoon with her girlfriends. And there's like a 20-minute sequence where they're like nursing her back to emotional health.
Right.
Which I remember watching, going, "Oh, this is annoying," because I have no tolerance for somebody moping. I don't care what. I mean, you get like that week of mourning for when your entire family gets killed in a blip accident. And then I'm like, get over it, you know. So this whole thing, like, she's like, there's a scene where Samantha's feeding her soup, and I'm just, oh, geez, come on, you're in your 40s. What are you, 14 now? And so I get really irritated at those kind of things, but it didn't bother me in that because I'm like, it's a
right. It still wasn't enough to make the movie bad, you know.
Yeah, it was
overall.
So fun.
So yeah. I don't know. Also notable, The Strangers at 21 million last
did
week.
Very well.
Did very well for. For the competition it was up against, but I think people are kind of like going through horror or thriller withdrawal to a certain extent.
Well, they had so many,
and then there was like nothing.
Well, what happened was
since The Ruins,
it goes back to 19 or it goes back to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 2004, 2005 that suddenly had all this innovative horror just show up. You had The Ring was 2002, but then you had the Grudge and the Dawn of the Dead remake in 28 days later.
And then you had like Hostel and Saw and all those movies like...
All came out. Well, right. Hostel was a little later. Saw was like 2003. Right. Mm-hmm. And you had this surge, and then suddenly horror did very well, and they flooded the market. And I remember it was the year 2005.
And then Michael Bay's like, my company's just going to remake everything.
Yeah, and not very well either.
Right.
You know, but it was like, I remember in the summer of... During 2005, the first 3 months of 2005 were front-loaded with, like, every week was a horror movie.
Right.
From January all the way through January and February, and it was just terrible. So the glut kind of pushed itself out. And when Hostel 2 bombed, because last year had all this torture porn stuff just bomb. Hostel 2, Hills Have Eyes 2.
Right.
That captivity thing with Alicia Cuthbert.
Right.
You know, none of them did well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, the only horror movie that really did well was 1408.
Which was a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's something to be said about The Strangers not being that kind of torture porn movie.
Yeah, but it was.
I mean, I thought it was it was still a different type of film.
But you don't but see... How many torture porn movies have you seen?
What?
Have you seen Hostel?
Yeah, I saw Hostel.
You think about it. What? How you? You would remember?
I block that kind of movie out.
You saw Hostel.
I saw.
Did you see Hostel 2?
No.
Did you see Saw?
The first one.
Did you see Saw 2?
No.
Did you see Saw 3?
Maybe.
Did you see Saw 4?
I don't know.
Will you see Saw 5?
Probably will.
Can you say?
I'm getting better at being able to see these movies. I think that's the point. Is that I'm gonna have to go back and watch like all the Saw movies because now I can watch them. For some reason, working with you has allowed me to get over the fright.
You look at real world horror, dealing with me and mayonnaise.
Yes, you working with you is scary enough to nothing will scare me from now on.
But it's funny to go see a horror movie with you because you just never saw them. So like we saw 30 Days a Night and we were in the same screen.
Oh, and I love 30 Days a Night.
And I'm like, okay, it was good, but it wasn't like super innovative. But like for you, it was watching everything for the first time. You're like, look, vampires. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen vampire movies before.
I've seen a lot of vampire movies. Okay.
Okay. Name them, all of them.
John Carpenter's Vampires.
Oh, that was a terrible movie.
Interview with a Vampire.
With Brad Pitt.
I don't know. We need to talk about predictions for this week.
No, we don't.
Here's what I
want to talk about vampire movies.
No, I don't want to talk about vampire movies anymore. Here's what I think for this week.
Werewolves.
You've got two pandas. We're talking about pandas now.
Panda vampires?
Sure.
How many panda vampire movies are there?
None.
We should make one.
Right. Although they're making Harvard Zombies now. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I saw that on the site.
Stupid.
What is
stupid idea?
Zombies are overdone.
After they did zombie strippers, you can't go anywhere from there.
Yeah, I guarantee you they won't have billiard balls in Harvard zombies.
Right, exactly. So anyways, let's get back to the box office here for a second, because I have a theory that I just came up with, and if I don't say it now, I'm going to forget it by the time we talk about this.
You want to get it on record?
I need to get it on record.
So let's talk about The Mummy.
Here's what I think. We've got two big releases coming in, and they're both wide releases,
yeah.
Kung Fu Panda and The Zohan. But one of them...
The panda is
going to cream everybody.
Yeah.
Because...
That sounded really disgusting.
Because it's filling a void that there are not that many... Like, Indiana
Still
Jones...
Still sounds disgusting.
Yes. Thank you. Indiana Jones is kind of a family movie. You know, it's like a Kevin Carr family movie where loved it, so you took your kids.
But it played like a family movie.
It played like a family movie, whereas a Kung Fu Panda is...
Oh, totally.
100% a family movie, yeah. And there are not any major family movies out right now.
That's true. Know? And last weekend you had two R-rated movies. Well,
yep.
The Strangers was R-rated.
Yep.
Two R-rated movies completely inappropriate for kids. That you don't even think, like, there's people that'll bring, like, somebody brought kids to, like, I Am Legend.
Right.
But you could sort of see where a complete idiot, moronic, stupid person would be like, it's Will Smith, and Will Smith was in Shark Tale, so I must take my kid to it. There's nothing about The Strangers or Sex and the City that made it remotely appealing to kids. In fact, right. I said to my one son, I go, you want to go see Sex and the City? I said, it's got a lot of pink in it, and there's kissing. And he's like, no.
Right, and by pink, you meant like pink, the color.
Yeah, I didn't mean like...
like inappropriate.
The good kind of pink. But he did. Then he said to me, he goes, but I can't see it because it wouldn't be appropriate for me. He actually used those. My 7-year old's like,
yeah, so like,
it wouldn't be appropriate.
Now I think you have a full slate of movies. You have the chick flick in Sex and City. You've got the adventure film in Indiana Jones. You've got the horror flick in The Strangers. And now you get the family flick in Kung Fu Panda. Zohan does not fit there. Zohan is, if you want the stupid comedy, I think it's finishing fourth this weekend. I think it's Kung Fu Panda, Sex and the City, Indiana Jones, or it's flip those two if you want.
I think Indiana Jones and then more staying power.
The Zohan and then The Strangers. If not, The Strangers over The Zohan.
I think The Zohan's going to beat The Strangers, but not by much.
I think Kung Fu Panda is absolutely going to kill this weekend. So, yes. And I hope it does because it's a really good movie. It's one of those movies that deserves a success.
Okay.
Anything else before we go to break?
Thanks for giving me 3 seconds. Bye.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now, Kevin, we are back. It is internet only segment time, and we have a list for the enjoyment of our listeners. Why are you not at your microphone?
I just want to see how long you'd go. I want to see how long it'd take for you to become uncomfortable talking just about by yourself.
Fair enough. This week,
go.
As we do every week, we have, well, not every week, but...
We've been getting back
on the horse or the cow or whatever animal we are going to ride at that particular point.
You are just loaded with just inappropriateness today.
I know, it's great.
You're talking about date rape. You start the show talking about date rape.
Well, thankfully we've made it to the internet only segment. So
well, yeah,
that
was a safe time to talk about date rape. Talk about date rape all you want.
Well, you know, I mean, that was the perfect time to talk about date rape.
If you're like, hey, date rape works for me.
There's nothing, well,
that's
I mean,
how I have sex.
There's nothing inappropriate about saying it.
Everything's inappropriate. What are you going to say? Go. There's a kids like a Mary Moppet type thing that down the road from the Magical Studio in the Sky. It is inappropriate to walk in there and saying, "Hey, 3-year-olds, let's talk about date rape."
Unless you're teaching a class
to 3-year-olds about
Not to
date
3-year-olds
rape.
3-year-olds necessarily. I don't know. Anywho, we've got a list this week.
It has nothing to do with date.
That
rape.
Has nothing to do with date rape. Although I'm sure. That a few of these people on this list may have been date rapists at some point.
There's one
that's probably a definite date rapist. Anyways, these are, since fans of movies this weekend are going to be going out and debating whether or not they want to mess with the Zohan, we decided to just pick 10 movie characters that you really don't want to mess with. I mean, we'll mess with the Zohan. He doesn't seem like a scary guy.
Yeah, screw the Zohan.
These are characters, not like the 10 or the definitive 10, just 10 characters that you absolutely do not want to mess with at all.
Because they may date rape you.
Because they may date rape you. And or worse things. So I think you do number 10 because I want number 9. Number 9 is
okay.
I don't want to date rape number 9. But
I don't want to be date raped by anybody else.
I have some things to say about number 9.
Maybe number 6 and number 3 I'd be okay with.
Fair enough. Okay. Although number 3 would be dangerous. You'll know when we get there. Anyways.
Yeah, number 3, you have to use a withdrawal method for number 3.
Let's stop being ambiguous.
Okay, number 10.
Number 10.
Martin Date Rape Riggs is who you do not want to mess with. If you don't know who that is, that's Mel Gibson's character from the Lethal Weapon movies. He's psychotic. He's suicidal. He'll jump off a building with you handcuffed to himself. And if you're Jewish, he will yell at you and get drunk and swear.
Sweet. Of course, we had to lead with Mel Gibson. Number 9 is Hellboy, played by Ron Perlman in the movie Hellboy.
Because what would be worse, being date raped by him or by his giant arm?
I don't want to think about it either way. He's a dangerous dude. He's a badass.
And he's part devil.
And he's part devil. How cool is that?
Very
cool.
It's
like a panda that does kung fu.
No, it's cooler than a panda. I would bet you that Hellboy would just destroy the panda.
Yeah, Hellboy would destroy the panda. But the tiger.
He'd still destroy the
yeah.
Whatever.
Anyways,
not gonna give away the movie.
Number 8.
Number 8, John Rambo.
Yes.
Yes. He wouldn't date rape.
No, but he would probably...
He would just rip your throat out.
He would rip your throat out or stab you in the stomach and cut you long enough so that all your intestines just fall out.
And hold you up so they dangle and you'd be like, look.
Awesome. The dude is... He's got style.
Can I do number 7?
Sure.
Okay. Number 7 is... I don't even remember his name, but it's Hot Rod's stepdad from the movie Hot Rod, played by Ian McShane.
Who's the ultimate badass.
Total badass. And the only way to stop him, as proved, is to give him that Tai Chi move that will make a grown man crap his pants.
Right. And I think he plays the bad guy in Kung Fu Panda. I think that's the only move that works on the leopard in Kung Fu Panda as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is
so
the
it works
Tai
on
Chi
both.
Move that makes you crap your pants.
Well, you know what? Can I tell you a little story and aside about crapping your pants? It's not about crapping your pants.
My mom said we're not allowed to talk about poop this week.
Well...
Why you always got to talk about poop?
Because it's there. It's a fact
she said
of
that,
life.
Literally, she said that she's going to call into the hotline.
She better.
And yell at you because all you do is talk about poop.
Bring it on, Neil's mom. Bring it on.
Anyways. Go on with your poop story.
I showed my kids Hot Rod, like when it came out on DVD, whatever, it was like 6 months ago.
And they were so excited they crapped their pants.
They loved it. And they loved the scene where they crapping the pants thing and everything. And like... A month or two later, I was out with my dad and my youngest son.
Right.
And he just randomly comes out of the air. He says, Papa, we saw a movie where a guy used karate and made a guy poop his pants. And I'm like, I think that's really funny that my 4-year-old at the time.
That left such
that
an
was the
indelible
impression.
Mark on his existence.
He's going to be like 20. He'll be like, yeah, my dad showed me this movie where the guy got hit so hard he shit himself.
And it was awesome.
And it was totally awesome. Let me try these moves on you. Boop, boop, boop. And then
it doesn't work.
That will be his date.
That would
be a bad idea.
That'll be the date.
I will advise him against
anyway,
it.
Number 6 is Cherry Darling from the film Planet Terror, which is part of the film Grindhouse.
Yes.
The better half of Grindhouse.
And what's great is she only has one leg.
The other leg is a machine gun.
Well, you can take off the machine gun and then you just get better, deeper access.
I don't really have anything to say to that. I was going to say she's a badass because she could literally shoot you with her leg.
But
you just had to go there.
I didn't mention poop once.
And Rose McGowan's hot, so she would draw you in and then kick your ass.
Yes.
So don't mess with Cherry Darling.
But she's going to be nasty when she gets older. Like when she's going to be like Suzanne Plachette, who not only wasn't bad looking when she was younger, but when she got old, now she's dead. Didn't she die?
No idea.
You don't want to mess with her.
Don't mess
dead
with Suzanne Plachette. Anyways, moving on to number 5.
Is this me?
Sure.
John McClane! Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
I wanted to just watch Live Free or Die Hard today. I think I'm going to do it after the show. I'm just going to watch that. I don't know why. I just feel like watching it.
Watch the unrated version because then you get
I've seen the unrated version.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. So unfortunately, Mary Elizabeth Winstead does not get naked.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would have been the greatest movie ever.
Although I hear there was a scene where she does date rape Justin Long.
Yes. But it's just sad because he ends up crying.
And then there's poop involved.
No, it's no good. Number four, we've made ourselves familiar with this guy over the last couple of weeks, Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Henry Jones Jr.
That's right.
If you really need a reason to know why you shouldn't mess with Indiana Jones, I mean...
He'll shoot you.
Yeah.
He, like, burns people alive.
Yeah, he's a badass. And he will drink the Kool-Aid that makes him evil, too. He proved that in Temple of Doom.
That's right.
He's not afraid to be evil
the
on
blood
your ass.
Of Kali.
Right, and he doesn't even need to date rape. Women just, like, melt all over him.
What? You're like, I need to date rape. But Indiana Jones doesn't.
Yeah, I think the title of this show is going to be the date rape episode.
No, this is not going to... Well, it would be interesting on search strings.
Yes.
People would be like, ooh.
Fat guys date rape.
How to date rape.
Yes.
By the fat guys. And people are like, ooh, they're fat. They don't get any
they're
tail.
They're obviously date raping.
They're totally date raping
and
people.
Then they come on, they're like, why are they talking about Kung Fu Panda? What is wrong with these two guys? We really confuse people sometimes, yeah, I think.
Are we still on the list? Number three.
Yes, number three. This one is all yours.
Yeah, this one, these are all like recent characters. Because you can go back and say Dirty Harry. Well, yeah, but that's, you know, let's do recent ones that people can remember.
Right.
Because this is the internet. No one
Plus, Clint Eastwood's like 800 years old. We would totally make his day.
I wouldn't. Not if he had a gun. Dude. You're an idiot. Lady Terminator. And even though this one isn't very recent, we recently saw it.
Very popular.
And that's what made Lady Terminator is a Indonesian ripoff of the Terminator in which a vagina eel attacks a woman and possesses her and then she kills people.
Right.
Which has nothing to do with the Terminator, but it's right. Remarkably similar.
And all I have to say to that is have you heard about this legend of the South Sea Queen? Because this is some crazy stuff, man. Anyways, that's an inside joke. There literally are like three people, including my brother and our writer, Cole, who are laughing very hard at that joke.
If they
everyone
got to
else,
the whole date rape section.
Everyone else in the country is like, no, you're not funny.
Yeah, well, they say that anyways.
Anyway, number two is James Bond. And you put down Daniel Craig. I think this any version of James Bond, but Daniel Craig is a badass.
A View to a Kill with Roger Moore.
Yeah, well, like...
Where he's crapping himself because he's wearing Depends.
I would say it's pretty much Daniel Craig and Connery.
Yeah.
And you don't want to mess with that version of James Bond.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Or the fictional version of James Bond that you made up in your mind after reading the books.
Yeah, which nobody did. Everyone saw the movie first after Goldfinger came out. Yeah. But no, I mean, like pretty much anyone who's their first stint as James Bond, like even Timothy Dalton and Roger Moore, they were good James Bonds when they started. It's just Timothy Dalton took one movie to suck. But
right.
Roger Moore just got old.
Right. I understand. But yeah. Daniel Craig is a good Bond.
Yeah. Especially when he's like taking pounding in the balls.
That was pretty bad. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. That to me is torture porn.
Okay.
That's the worst kind.
Number one, it hasn't come out yet, but I got to put it at the top of the list.
Yeah, but this is just not somebody you want to mess with either.
Heath Ledger's the Joker.
From
The Dark Knight. This guy will fuck you up.
Yeah. We know this from like three trailers.
Yeah.
I mean, that says something for
this. This is one I'm actually not... I'm probably not going to take my kids to until I see it first and I'm like, oh, it's okay. There's only a little bit of date rape.
A little bit.
Because the thing is they got the coolest standee out for the Dark Knight. It's got the motorcycle coming out of it's three dimensional.
Right. And your kids see it and just go nuts.
Yeah. When we went and saw Indiana Jones at the movie tavern and we come out in front, oh, look at that. I'm just like, oh, can we see that? I'm like, no.
No, it's way too cool for you.
Yeah, it's way too cool. You're not allowed.
So, anyways, that's our list. Do we have any? We don't have any honorable mentions, do we?
No, I'm sweating. I want to finish.
Okay, fair enough.
Sounds very dirty too.
When we come back, we're gonna wrap you up. We'll do our DVD roundup, and we'll get you prepared for next week when something happens and somebody hulks.
The Hulk is happening.
Yes. four segments down, one to go. We are wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and it is time, as we always do, unlike the top 10 list where we just do that whenever we feel like it.
We've been doing that pretty consistently.
Right. It's not, but the DVD anything. Roundup...
You were waiting for my sound effect.
We do it every week. So we'll start...
You say you're so proud of yourself. You're like, we do that every week. We, you know, there's some people who don't like change their underwear every day, but we do the DVD roundup
every single week. Yes. So I will start, I suppose, since my name is first on the list here, with the Dirty Harry box set. We just went through, in our internet-only segment, the 10 movie characters that you really don't want to mess with. And Dirty Harry was not one of them, but, I mean, he's, you know, you don't want to mess with him, I suppose.
I wouldn't make his day.
Yes.
the guy has a gun that's like the size of my arm.
The box set is out. It's also out on Blu-ray, which I can appreciate. I like that.
Yeah. They did both. They did a release in the same... Usually they like stagger the releases now.
Yeah, which kind of annoyed me because There Will Be Blood just came out on Blu-ray, and I got the There Will Be Blood Blu-ray, and it didn't have any new special features, and I was already annoyed that the first DVD release did not have any special features that were worth watching. So, anyways, so there you have that.
I want a milkshake. What,
you want a milkshake? Okay, fair enough.
Give me a milkshake.
You also have The Eye with Jessica Alba came out, which...
You didn't... That's a good movie, actually.
I don't know. Semi-pro.
And it totally has Jessica Alba in it.
One of the movies I'm picking up this week is Semi-Pro, because it was funny. And also... an honorable mention to Rescue Me Season 4, which is like the best show on television.
No.
One of them.
Battlestar.
It's not as good. It's not as necessarily as mainstream acceptable as Battlestar Galactica, but I think for a drama, blows it away.
Do you have theories on who the final Cylon is?
I could make some up.
Okay, I was just curious.
We could do that next week. We'll talk about the last Cylon. I haven't watched the last episode.
You didn't watch it from last week?
No idea what's going on.
Okay.
So
there's Cylons in it.
Whoa. Crazy. What's your DVD pick of the week?
My DVD pick of the week is The Incredible Hulk seasons 3 and 4.
Okay.
And
with Lou Ferrigno.
With Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby, as they call him, Bix.
Okay.
You know, and what's nice is I'm a child of the 80s, and I popped in, I started watching these DVDs, and I'm there with my wife, and I'm like, I remember this one where Mackenzie Phillips was like trying to electrocute herself on stage as a like glam rocker.
Mm-hmm.
As sort of like a female version of David Bowie, if that makes sense at all.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways, but it's two. These two seasons are dropped right before Incredible Hulk comes out next week. You can check to see what it's like when the Hulk isn't CGI and the Hulk is just like flexes a lot and then throws things. That's really all he does. He goes and it was really funny is. They're good shows. They really are. And they're back for the episodic TV of the 80s where they didn't have a continuous storyline. It was just David Banner in the show.
Right.
Bruce Banner. It's just wandering around. Well, you know
now
what?
Now David Banner is a rapper.
Is there a rapper named
David Banner.
Do you know why they named him David Banner?
No.
It's because Kenny Johnson, who created V.
Okay.
He didn't like the alliterated names. But you know how everyone, like Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Peter Parker.
Right.
You know, you name almost any character and it's alliterated names. Even if and I realized I must be a superhero because I have an alliterated
name.
Kevin Carr.
What about Bruce Wayne?
I don't think that's one that isn't there, but a lot.
But
a
he's
lot.
Batman, so. Mm.
Yeah. Reed Richards.
Oh, okay. You know? Cool. So the Hulk. Good stuff.
Jan Jones, Manhunter from Mars.
And I will say, it's funny, this is a little news story about the Hulk. Lou Ferrigno did do the voice for the Hulk in the movie. Apparently. Wow. I read this today.
Well, you know what's funny is he didn't do the voice for the Hulk in the show.
Hey, really?
No, he didn't. It was, I forget who it was who initially did it and then he died, but then it's a guy, his name's James Napier.
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno was just the body of the Hulk.
It was just the body of the Hulk.
And
it was
just the Hulk. He wasn't David Banner. He was just the Hulk.
He was just the Hulk. And what's great about the show is on the DVD they have this sneak peek of the Incredible Hulk, which is the most Mickey Mouse. You get more stuff on the internet because it's all current. This is stuff that's been put in production a while ago. So they have this. They're showing this scene. They're like shooting the Incredible Hulk, and it's literally just an empty street with a couple cars exploding. Because they're going to CG in everything later.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Transformers set photos. It's like, oh my God, it's a helicopter flying over a steel plant.
Yes.
You know, where the robots obviously have not shown up yet.
What they should have done is they should have had like Michael Bay running around with a giant like Optimus Prime helmet going blah 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 blah.
That's actually what the second movie is going to be like.
That's about the level of writing.
So, okay, so the Hulk is your pick.
The Hulk.
I'm having sinus things today. Okay. But the stinker, and I would like to verbally abuse the stinker for a second.
Go rail. I'm going to chew some ice.
Meet the Spartans. I have never wanted to be taken away in a natural disaster more than 10 minutes into Meet the Spartans when I was like, please, tornado, hit my house and kill me. Because I no longer wanted to live. The dumbest movie. If you buy this, seriously, don't listen to our show anymore. If you buy Meet the Spartans.
Actually,
and
I want
to hit yourself in the head with a hammer.
I want people to call in and tell me about Meet the Spartans.
Stupidest movie on the face of the freaking earth.
Do you know what part where I like, because there's parts in these movies that are so bad where I throw my hands up.
Yeah.
It was when the penguin pooped.
Yeah, which is like 5 minutes into the movie.
Yes.
I'm so sick of it, I can't talk about movies anymore. But anyways, this weekend's movies, Kung Fu Panda, you said?
Rocked.
I said rocks as well. The Zohan, I think we were both
kind of sucked.
Next week, we're talking The Incredible Hulk and The Happening, M. Night Shyamalan, and his big return.
Nice.
So if you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and then, fatguysthemovies.com. You can email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com. You can hit us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies and give us a call, 614-388-8735. Adios.
Adios.
All right, cool. Let's do this shizzle, McNizzle, all up in this bizzle. Whenever you're ready to go dizzle.
I'm ready to dizzle all over the place.
Wow.